Hey, this is Russ Dizzer. We're getting ready to start in... Listen, this is the final hour. This is the final hour of human history. The mission of God is the evangelization of the world. It's all about God so loved the world. God loves the world, man. And wherever you're at in all the world right now listening, I want you to know one thing. I know it with all of my heart. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. And for every single believer in Christ, you've got to go back to 1 John chapter, simply chapter 3. Look how much love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. And so I want to tell you right now that you and I, as believers in Christ, are loved by God. I mean, we're sealed in this eternal love, this relationship. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Look at the cross again and again and again and again. See what God has done for us. Now listen, how far will you go to reach the world for Christ? Maybe you're a missionary right now on some other continent. And I'm just telling you right now, I feel like I'm a missionary. When I go out the door, when I go down to the department store, when I'm out on the streets, when I'm in the coffee shop, when I'm doing the broadcasts, and I'm going to say even to those in Russia, in China, in Japan, in Manila, in Barcelona, Spain, and down in Johannesburg, and all over the world that have been listening to the broadcasts, there's one great motivation, and that is the love of God. God loves the world. And this is all measured at the cross. This is all seen at the cross where Christ gave his life. We're talking now about God in human flesh taking care of the problem. Now listen, we all know the world has a problem. I mean, just take a look around. Just take a look around at the craziness of a North Korean leader. Take a look at the volatile Mideast and all that's happening there. Biblical prophecy being fulfilled all around us. Alternative spirituality that is literally transmuting humanity and leading them further and further away from the shores of God's grace. And you and I, who are believers in the living Christ, let me tell you something. You've got to deal with the battle. The battle, the world, the flesh, and the devil. If you're going to help reach the world for Christ, if you're going to be yielded to the mandate of God, if you're going to be a part of the great mission of God, I mean, you can read in the Gospels that Jesus Christ said clearly and distinctly that he would not visibly return until the whole world heard the gospel, the good news of God. Listen, this is good news. When you read John 3:16, may God fill your heart, your life, your mind with the power and the passion of the Spirit of God to know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. He so totally loved the world that he gave his monogenesis. This is the one and only Son of God. This is the only begotten. This is now God in human flesh, but he's the Son of God going to the cross on your behalf. Listen, I don't know if you ever thought about this lately, but Jesus did not die for himself. He died for you. Whoever you are, and by the Spirit of God's leading, because the Spirit of God is literally seeking and looking and knocking and appealing and drawing and communicating to the entire world and to you right now. God loves you. And what you see at the cross is God's love for humanity. What you see happening at the cross 2,000 years ago, clearly known hundreds of years in advance. I mean, if you want to do a background study, go to Isaiah 53, 700 years before Jesus ever comes, we see the clear predictions of a suffering servant, of a Christ on the cross, of blood being shed, of him becoming the sin bearer of the world. There are the words that should echo deep into the depths of our soul. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, we now have the epitome of sinful, fallen man like you and I. the satanic orchestration as he enters into Judas to betray the Son of God for 30 pieces of stinking silver. Sinless, never harmed anybody, fed the people, raised the dead, loved individuals, healed the sick, opened the eyes of the blind. There is none like him. I don't care where you look. I don't care where you go. I don't care what alternative you're into. There is none like him. Unprecedented, unequaled, indefeatable, indestructible Christ. Christ in God in human flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. Have you read that lately? Dear friend, listening right now by the Spirit of God, moving your heart and guiding your heart, someone that needs Christ in your heart, forgiveness, the power of God, the gift of eternal life, the power to change everything inside of you. Don't be seduced by the ramping up of the demonic all around us, by the counterfeit that Satan is literally pouring out of the world right now. I don't care if you're a political leader. I don't care if you're law enforcement or a soldier over there in Afghanistan right now. Doesn't make any difference if you're in Manila listening right now to this broadcast. This broadcast has been set up for one reason. There is a passion, there is a presence that is moving my heart. That is the love of God. That is the cross. That is Christ. And so I want to share with those of you who don't know God, and those of you who do, I want you to know that in the final hour, the safest and most powerful place to be is on the field of ministry in compassionate supernatural evangelism. And I want to encourage you to read the book of Acts again and again and again and again. This message is based on the book of Acts. Of course, on the gospel. And I've already mentioned John 3:16. I wonder whether you know John 3:17. See, in a world that is all getting, listen, cold and hard and angry and bitter and disillusioned, there's an angst, a dread. You can feel it in the air. You can see it in lives. I wonder if you've read John 3:17, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 17. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather to save. He sent Jesus to save the world. I mean, check it out. John 3:17. No matter who you listen to, check out the Word of God and look at it. The Scripture interprets Scripture and needs to be clear and systematic. Listen, as God might speak to your heart today, I'm going to say one thing that I know that's pressing on my heart. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, come out of the battles, come out. Get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Get sick and tired of being defeated. Jesus didn't come to save you for you to live in some subnormal, defeated, beaten down Christian life. Jesus said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. There's the power of God. There's this power of the gospel. Total forgiveness. Freedom from the power of the sin code within. Freedom from Satan. Listen, you've been given authority. You're to put on the armor of God. As believers in Jesus, get discipled. If nobody else is going to help you, begin to do it yourself. I had to do that in the beginning. I didn't know any better. Nobody told me. I listened to the sermon on Sunday morning. It was great, but I wanted more. And so I got biblical study guides, and I was studying and reading and memorizing Scripture. But one thing pulsated in my life, reach your family for Christ. Reach your grandmother for Christ. Reach your cousin for Christ. Reach your friends all around you for Christ. I would close my eyes and think of my friends, how I had to reach them for Christ. I'll never forget the day that I felt burdened and sent by the love of God to my 79-year-old grandmother from Yugoslavia. And as I sat there telling her God loves her, and I shared the gospel with her and asked, Grandma, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Grandma finally looked at me and she said, yes. And out loud together, I led her in a prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe on you. I accept you as Lord and Savior. Come into my life. I accept the gift of eternal life. I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross, that He died and was buried and was raised from the dead by the power of God. She believed. She died a year later, and I was there at the bedside as she patted my face, knowing that she was going to heaven, knowing that she was going to be there. She had the assurance based on the Word of God, but by the Holy Spirit in her life. Can I ask you something? Do you have the Spirit of God in your life? If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. You can read that in Romans chapter 8. Wherever you are, whatever your spirituality is, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. That's what it is to know God, to know Christ, that His very presence comes into the depths of your being, makes you alive to God. Your human spirit comes back into personal relationship and fellowship with God. His literal living presence comes into your life. Now listen, many of you who are believers are saying, hallelujah, this is the truth. Whether it doesn't make any difference where you live, if you've accepted Jesus as Lord, Savior into your life, He is in there by the presence and the power of the Spirit of God. Now, I'm doing a series called The Final Hour, and so I'm going to keep adding more and more and more hours, you know, to this one little website that will have these messages. Listen, you can download it, make CDs, give it to anybody you want to. And listen, I'd love to come if you're a pastor to your church, set up an evangelistic campaign, and it's a four-week process. And last time we did this, the very invitation, the moment of the invitation, 12 individuals gave their heart to Christ. Another 50 people came forward. It was a great time. But I want you to know that the greatest thing possible right now in the world that we're living in, the only thing that's going to change and alter things is a great, powerful revival, great, powerful spiritual awakening. But I think that as we pray for that and believe for that, as I do, that obedience to the Great Commission will help bring about the greatest release of God's power, God's kingdom, and the great work of God. And so I'm going to give you 9 points here that I just simply call the 9 things are included in the evangelization of the world. It's seen in the book of Acts. And so as we look at these 9 principles, may we acknowledge the unbroken, unceasing, living presence of Jesus Christ in our lives, with us, upon us. I mean, you remember the Great Commission. And listen, as spiritual leaders and pastors and as believers, Jesus commissioned us to go into all the world and make disciples, to go to every creature and preach good news, not condemning news, good news. There's a Savior. There's a love from God. God wants us. God's made a way to come home. And we have incredible news that a human being can know God. All the barriers of sin and Satan, the world, and every ounce of the results of all three of those in our lives can be broken by the power of the incomparable Christ. Listen, here, let's begin with this 9 points concerning world evangelization, which means the very next person, in your work stall, where you go to school, in your neighborhood. I remember reading about a dear lady that wrote a book called Battling the Prince of Darkness, Evelyn Christensen. It's a great book if you ever get a chance to read it, Battling the Prince of Darkness. And she talks about in the book where a team got together in one of the houses in a neighborhood and began to pray. But as they prayed, they knew the mission was to go reach people. So they went door to door to door, and they visited every home in that neighborhood again and again and again. They walked those streets and knocked on doors. They prayed for people, and they shared the gospel. And one by one by one, they were leading individuals to Christ. Did their Bible study grow? You better believe it. I believe it was like 70% of the entire neighborhood began to come to the Bible study. where God's love is and God's power is and God's saving grace and where the testimony of changed lives and even healing and deliverance and the miracles of God. Listen, that's where the action is. And when Jesus commissioned us to go into all the world, commanded us to go into all the world, we're either going to be obedient or disobedient. It's one or the other. We're either you know, on target or way off target, and you've got to decide where you are. You've got to decide whether you've ever led another friend, another human being to Christ. This is the mission of God. There is nothing bigger. You can write to me and try to tell me, is there something bigger than this? Is there something more vast? Is there something more important? Is there something more valuable? I don't think so. So here comes the 9 points. Number one, a savior for the world with passion and power. A savior for the world with passion and power, conceived by the Spirit of God. God in human flesh, Emmanuel. God spoke out of the Old Testament over 300 times about the coming of God in human flesh, of Christ, of Messiah, of the Savior. And here we have the birth of Christ, and listen, everybody is amazed, and wise men come, and they worship, and the angels sing. There is nothing like this. There is no equal. There's nothing like this. Born of the Spirit of God, conceived. He was born Emmanuel, God in human flesh. Comes to about 30 years old, goes out into Israel. John the Baptist sees him. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. One of the most powerful, righteous servants of God, by the Spirit of God, instantly recognizes Christ, the Lamb of God. Now we have God in human flesh, never sinned, tempted, never sinned, loved individuals. Look how he healed. Look how he opened eyes. Look how he raised the dead. Look how he fed the hungry. Look what he spoke. Watch his actions. Look how his power and authority was greater and overrode the issues of disease, of sin, of nature, creation. Listen to him. The Creator now is in human flesh. He's the Creator and Redeemer. He's God our Savior. And the demons feared, and Satan was defeated, though he tried so hard to destroy the Savior. Jesus outside Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you up. He wanted to save all of Jerusalem. He prepared them. Maybe you're an Israeli listening right now by the providence of Messiah himself. You go back and read Isaiah 53. You go back and read of the coming Savior that has already come. He died on the cross for you as Messiah. Come to Christ. Come to Messiah. Come to the Anointed One. He's the Savior of the world. We read in the book of 1 John that he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He has taken away your sin. He has washed, cleansed. The sinless one took on the totality of all the sin of the world. All the sin of the world. There is no sin that he didn't take on at the cross. Where sin abounds in the world today, the Bible says grace much more abounds. Romans chapter 6. Look at this Savior. The centrality of the message. The Gospel of John. Read it again. Read it again. Read it again. As you read the Gospel of John again and again and again, you read in chapters 5 and 6, Jesus says about all of the Word of God, these are the Scriptures that testify about me. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Look at him on the cross. He knew he was going. Look at him on the cross, shedding sinless, innocent blood, wielding a power that would open the gateways, the door to direct relationship with God, repairing everything. At the cross, he took care of the totality of sin. He took care of the totality of death. He took care of the totality of Satan's power. He took care of the totality of hell and eternal damnation. Jesus conquered it all. Jesus conquered it all. To have the living Christ come into your life, forgiveness, freedom from the power of sin, freedom from Satan's ownership, freedom from hell, freedom from eternal death. Relationship with God, indestructible immortality, the love of God in your heart, the witness of the Spirit of God inside of you, knowing that you will receive not only indestructible immortality, eternal life, but you will see God face to face in the deepest love-packed relationship you can ever conceive. 1 John tells us God is love. Jesus came because God loved us. The cross occurred because God loved. What a Savior! Look what they'd done to Him. Look what happened at the cross. He is the Savior for the totality of humanity. Doesn't make any difference upon the millions and millions and millions in India, in China, in Bangalore, in Manila, in Japan, all through Canada, United States, Brazil, Chile, Costa Rica. It don't make any difference. Pretoria, South Africa, listen. Kenya, Nicaragua, Montenegro. You Russians and those Czechs and Finns and Swedes, even the dear Eskimo. It doesn't make any difference if you're down under in the land of beauty in Australia. Aborigine, Indian, white, black, red, God loves you. What a Savior. Died for the world, for you. God so loved you. Put your name there. God so loved the world. Well, number two in this evangelization of the world is this. It's a plan that supersedes all events and contingencies. Come hell or high water, come World War I, World War II, doesn't make any difference in all that occurs. I don't care when Antichrist, you know, arises. All the doom and gloom and everything that everybody predicts, economic failures, the rambling and rustling of war swords of nations, the craziness we see, the crime we see, the things that have been done to us, the abuse that has occurred. And we've all been victims and been victimizers. We live in a fallen and broken world. We are the ones that slammed God out of our lives as a human race. We listened to the lie. We listened to a liar. We didn't receive all the knowledge and become gods. We lost our place and death entered in and we became corrupted and we've sinned. But there's a plan that supersedes all events. If you think in terms of all that God is doing in all of creation, I want you to know that the greatest plan in all of creation right now is redemption. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God. He's after saving the world. He's after reaching the world. And everything that is being done in the world, nations. You can be working as a politician. You can say, I'm the President of the United States. In comparison to the mission of God, that is nothing. In comparison to the redemption of God, that is nothing. Someday we will understand the depth of this death of the God-man Christ at the cross. We'll understand that God so loved the world. We'll understand the Word of God that says that He wills that none perish, but that all come to repentance. God is not willing that anybody perish. Not you. Not your friends. That's why the effort, that's why the labor, that's why the blood, that's why the conquering of sin, death, the devil himself in hell. Doesn't make any difference whether you're a scientist, a physicist, whether you're into metaphysics. Let me tell you one thing. Do you know God? Let me tell you right now, God wants to know you. He knows you from afar. He knows your name. He knows all that you've done. But knowing God means God coming into your life and a relationship. You can have all the so-called spirituality you want, all of the preoccupying counterfeits, but do you know God? The number one thing happening is God is running after the world. God is... He has sent the Spirit of God to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Jesus said when He be lifted up, He would draw with power. He would draw all humanity. When we pray for the lost to come to Christ, when we pray for all mankind to be saved, in the book of Timothy chapter 2, God says, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all, who desires, pas anthropos, all humanity to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Oh dear Christian, be filled with this passion of God, this plan of God. This is in the Word. This is in the expressed fire and power and grace and work of the Spirit of God. This is the heart of God. It's a plan that is motivated by the eternal love of God. And it supersedes everything. God's doing this. God's reaching humanity. You can think that God is on some other important task somewhere. No. The number one plan, the number one thing that supersedes everything is God's attention in reaching you and reaching your family and reaching every single human being. If you haven't come to God, come to Christ. Believe on Him. If you know Jesus, it's time to surrender all. Be filled with Him. Be filled with the Spirit of God and begin to reach the world. Starting with individuals right next to you. Point number three, a world filled with the knowledge. Listen. A people filled with the knowledge and the heart of God. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, you experience the love of God, the forgiveness, the relationship. We've now got, as it says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, "Abba, Father." And so we are an inseparable and unbroken relationship. God says in Hebrews 13, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And if you're a believer in Jesus right now, He has never left you. I don't care how you felt. I don't care if the devil screamed it into your face. God's abandoned you. He's a liar from the beginning. Jesus says, when He lies, He speaks His native language. God created a people in Him that He would love and build and strengthen, and that He would call and send to the world. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus says, "I have chosen you to go and bear fruit." We're told in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, that we've been saved by grace, not by works, and that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, that in the center of those good works is the reaching of other human beings and pouring upon them the message of the power and the love and the passion and the will of God. God summons every human being, "Come home, come to Christ." You and I've got to be a people filled. Fill yourself with the Word of God. You can read about that in Colossians 3. You know, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You can see what happened at Pentecost when the power of God came on the believers. And why? Acts 1:8. Jesus said it, when the power of God comes, the number one expression of the power of the Spirit of God, that you become witnesses of Jesus Christ to the world. Read the book of Acts. You'll read about Peter and Paul, and you'll read about Stephen and Philip and all the believers. Everyone filled with the Holy Spirit was reaching the lost. They were all out there evangelizing. They were all out there sharing. So fill yourself with the Word of God. Fill yourself with the knowledge of God. And as you do that in surrendered relationship to Christ, God's heart will literally be expressed in your life. You'll know what it is to feel a sense of what God in His heart feels for lost humanity. You realize that God wants to show mercy, that He would rather show mercy than ever show judgment. You'll read about it in James chapter 5, that mercy triumphs over judgment. So many people want everybody judged and everybody blown apart and everybody, you know, but God wants everybody saved, not willing that one would perish. He died for all. May God fill us with that heart to reach the world. Look past the sin, the grime, everything else. You're just a forgiven sinner washed by that blood of Christ, given that gift of righteousness. Justified before God, not on the basis of your works, but on sheer and total grace. Don't you think it's time to get up and share Jesus? Don't you think it's time to be moved by the heart of God? Go ahead and sit back, listen to the iPod. Go ahead and lay on that bed and listen. Go ahead and sit there by that computer and hear God speaking to you as a believer, that He desires to fill you and strengthen you. He'll take care of everything else. You've got to get up. You've got to stop sitting around. And you've got to step out into the most supernatural, compassionate ministry. And that is redemption. That is evangelization. That is the evangelization of the world. It may mean that you become a missionary and go somewhere. But I'm going to tell you right now, it begins with your neighbor down the hall. It begins with everyone around you. You can simply begin by simply loving people and seeking to share the simplicity of the love of God, of what Jesus has done. May the Spirit of God and power and grace and mercy clothe you and fill you even now. Point number four. A supernatural message. God is in and revealed through it. In the face of all of Rome and all of its Pax Roma, the great universities, the military, the politics, this great massive empire, Paul would be led by the Spirit of God to write, in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. No matter what all of Rome has, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I don't care about, you know, what level of physics, metaphysics, science, education. I don't care about the arrogance of human sin saying they don't need God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. The power of God that has been saving the high and the low, that has been saving the man in the little straw hut and the lady in the great palace. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It involves a God that loves all, a Savior that died for all. It involves the Spirit of God who seeks all. In the message is the power of God. Faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. In that message is a power. In that message is life. In that message is, and I believe, all of the word of God, animated by the Spirit of God, given by the Spirit of God, preserved by the Spirit of God. They are living words. The word of God is living and active. It's powerful. The gospel is powerful. And so when a man or a woman hears the gospel, like I did 35 years ago, when somebody laid that message on me and poured out Jesus and His love for me and His death on the cross, that message poured into me. That word of God, that word of Christ, that gospel poured into me. I ran, I went home. It stayed with me. God kept speaking and speaking and speaking, until I surrendered and gave my heart to Christ, and He came rushing into my life. And He's never left, not in 35 years. Let me say that you must realize that the Word of God is the Word of faith. Romans 10, that nobody can believe without hearing. Study this in Romans 10. How can they believe on whom they've not heard? The reason a lot of people are not getting saved today, they're not hearing. Because there's power. There's faith-giving power. There's penetrating power. There's an encounter with God in the hearing of the message of Jesus, of the message of the good news of Christ. And God encounters lives. And you got to share it. You got to tell. You got to lay it out. You got to speak it to people's hearts and lives. Use a gospel track if you want. I love the four spiritual laws. I love the full and meaningful life. I love the bridge. I love a lot of these gospel tracks I've used as a tool, and I've pointed to scriptures written in it, and I've shared from my heart to their heart. God loves you. I've had the privilege of leading hundreds of individuals, hundreds, one-on-one, to faith in Christ. My grandmother, eventually after 23 years, my own human father. People in a bar, people on the streets, people at a university, people in a crowd listening to the preached message of Christ. 9 points for world evangelization. Here's point 5. All of heaven is focused on this redemptive miracle. All of heaven is focused on this redemptive miracle. Listen, I want you to hear this. I'm talking about God's attention. I'm talking about the passion of God. When we talk about this is good and pleases God our Savior, Timothy chapter 2, who wills all humanity to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That word will has the idea of God's desire. What does God want? He wants people saved. If you want your family saved, you can never want more than the infinite will of God passionately wants individuals saved. And if you're listening to this and you're not even saved, God passionately wills, wants, desires you. I'm going to tell you right now something you may have never conceived of, thought of in your life. There is no one who wants you more than God Himself. We were created originally by God. We screwed up. We messed up. We sinned. We chucked God. But He's come looking for us. And all of heaven is focused on this redemptive miracle. God has literally stretched out His arms. You can read about that if you want. You can read about God stretching out His hands in Acts chapter 4. You can read about that in the book of Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. That all day long he opens wide His arms. The arms of God are opened wide. You're quit listening to the lies of the devil. You're not too big of a sinner. And whatever kind of so-called spirituality you have that has not led you to God is dust in the wind. It is counterfeit and meant to steal and rob from you relationship with God and indestructible immortality. God is focused on you. That's why you're listening right now. That's why the Spirit of God is gripping you right now. That's why tears may come to your eyes, because no one in all creation could desire you more, could want you more. Not another human being, not a father or mother. No one can love you more than God. No one wants you more than God. And God has decreed everything in the resources of God, of heaven, to be bent on you coming to Christ. And if you're already a believer in Christ, this is this incredible focus. What are you focused on? What's number one in your life? Number one in the life of God, reach every human being. None should perish before the end of time. God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn. That's what He says in the prophet Ezekiel. Go back and read it. Ezekiel 33 and 34. Angels, the power of healing, the power of deliverance, signs, wonders, all of it is focused on the redemption of one human being coming. The Bible tells us very clearly, Jesus says it in the gospel, that when one human being repents, that when one human being comes to the living Christ, all of heaven rejoices. I believe that. I believe there's a great celebration. I know that when I've led people to Christ on an individual basis, or seen, you know, dozens come to Christ at a crusade, or been a part of a larger project and seen hundreds and hundreds come to Christ, I'm packed with joy. I'm on cloud nine. I'm filled with the joy of God and what He's doing. Jesus said, all the angels, all of heaven, rejoices over one individual, one human being that repents, turns around, and comes back to God. Point number six. What is the reason for the Spirit of God's power? Remember in the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said, you shall be clothed with power from on high. You shall be clothed with power from on high. That's an incredible thing. I know what it is to put a coat on in the winter, to feel that heaviness of that coat all over me. But we're talking about a coat of God's power, clothing of the Spirit of God, power from on high. Jesus says now in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. There's no greater evidence. There's all kinds of other expressions of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, works of the Spirit. When you are clothed and filled with the Spirit of God, Christ is center. The love of God is supreme. And the living Christ is beginning to, just be magnified in your life. And the Spirit's power begins to move you and empower you and embolden you and release you in a spiritual beauty, a radiance, to unleash and tell humans all around you, God loves you. You got to come to Christ. Listen, my dear friend, may God saturate you, clothe you, fill you with the Spirit of God. You know, just get down and repent of all sin right now. Repent of every sin, everything in your life. Reject it all. Trust Christ. Have you read Romans chapter 8 lately? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Get up, dear sweet Christian, and take hold of all that God has given in Christ at salvation. And rise up now and surrender and open your life. I love Psalm 81:10. I love Psalm 81:10. You know what it says? Open wide. God says it to His people Israel. He says it to you and I right now. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Repent of all sin. Stand up and renounce fear, laziness, neglect. Lord Jesus, fill me, clothe me, saturate me, inundate me with God the Holy Spirit. I yield my life completely to You inside and out, and I stand up to yield my life to the Great Commission, and I accept the power of God You will in my life as both Your provision and privilege and pleasure of the Spirit's sweet, bolding power to unleash our hearts, change us from the inside out in becoming an incredible witness for Jesus. A little lady I read about, she wanted to reach people for Jesus. Her church prayed and said, God, we want to try to lead 1,000 people to Christ this year. Little church. They launched off in praying and witnessing and evangelizing. They celebrated at the end of the year. They led over 1,000 people to Christ. The church was packed with God's love and testimonies and great work of God's hand all over them. Little lady was up by the altar crying. pastor goes over and says, what could possibly be wrong? She said, oh, pastor, I sought and prayed for, so many people to be saved. I wanted to lead, so many people to Christ, but I failed. I didn't lead as many as I wanted. Pastor said, how many, dear sweet little lady, did you pray for to be saved and that you would go after? And she said, I prayed that I could reach out and that I could help lead 500 people to Christ. Well, not even the pastor did that. He said, dear sweet little lady, how many people did you lead to Christ? She said, oh, pastor, in this year, I've only led 363 people to Christ. Do you have names written down on little cards of people you want to reach? Do you get up in the morning and have great prayer with Christ to be ablaze for God and leave your house as a soul-winning missionary, as a soul-winning ambassador of God? The Holy Spirit will flow through you. The Holy Spirit will lead you supernaturally. If you'll step out and commit to reach people for Christ, if you step out to win the lost to Jesus, you're going to find the Holy Spirit everywhere, operating, working, just like in the book of Acts. Just like the providential leadings, just like the empowerment to speak and to share the gospel, just like in the book of Acts. May God fill you now as you surrender and accept by faith the total clothing, fire, radiance, power of God the Holy Spirit. Take a look at point number 7. Angels of God in world evangelization. Don't you understand? If all the angels rejoice when one person gets saved, they're involved. The angels of God were involved at conception. The angels involved were involved at the birth of Christ. They were there in the ministry of Christ. They were there at the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, at the ascension of Christ. And when you read the gospel, you'll see their interaction. When you read the book of Acts, the church launched believers sharing Christ, simple disciples going everywhere to share Jesus, the Lord working with them. Angels come. Angels come to Peter and the rest of them to get them out of prison and have them go preach all the words of this life. Angels come to help Paul on a ship to make sure that he's going to preach the gospel. Angel comes to the soul winner, Philip. Check it out, Acts chapter 8. The angel even appeared and gave directions on how to get to a lost man so the gospel could be preached and a man could be saved. Angels are all around us. They're serving the heirs of salvation. They're fighting the demons of hell. The book of Revelation shows over 60 sometimes angels involved in the very last of days, all over the place. Angels help in evangelism. Angels help in spiritual warfare. Please understand Psalm 68, when the writer cries out for God's power and that the chariots of God, in reference to the angels, are tens of thousands and thousands upon thousands. Though there is great demonic ramping up, great satanic counterfeit powers, doctrines of demons all around us, Christ and His infinite power, God the Holy Spirit, greater is He who is in us than He was in the world. And the angels of God, the two-thirds that never defected, that are there backing the mission of God, that are involved in evangelization, that are involved in delivering believers out of imprisonment and persecution, and even giving direct guidance so that we can lead people to Jesus. Oh, may God unleash His angels. May American and Western Christians get rid of the unbelieving, cynical, rationalization. The supernatural is here all around us. God hasn't changed. The Word of God teaches clearly that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no difference. So as you launch out, you can trust that angels are around. As you pray, as that little group of believers prayed for Peter that was in prison, that was going to be killed, in the book of Acts, where they were praying and didn't even know that angels had been dispatched. Chains supernaturally fell off of Peter's hands. The angel tells him and communicates, "Get up, get your clothes, let's go." The iron barred gate opens all by itself, and the angel leads Peter out of prison. That's why we need to pray for missionaries and other soul winners, and praying over our outreaches and saturating everything in prayer, because the hand of God, the power of God, and angels sent by God will fight in your behalf, will work for the sake of the redemption of souls. And if you're a lost man, if you're a lost woman, if you're in some kind of other spirituality, fallen angels will operate in your life. But the angels of God will be operating to help in some way for you to get your attention so that you can hear the gospel. Angels did this in the book of Acts so that lost individuals could hear the gospel. Angels fight for the great commission to be accomplished. Let me say it again. Angels of God fight for the completion of the great commission of God. Step out onto the field, Christian. Step up and take up the cross of Christ and be a witness for Jesus. May I ask you right now if you'd consider memorizing Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 20, where it says the disciples, the simple disciples, they went out everywhere. The Greek word there is evangelized, preached, shared. They evangelized everywhere. And the Lord worked with them. And he confirmed his word by signs that followed. And that leads us to point number eight. Point number eight, miracles, power, abilities, and the extraordinary. When you read in the Gospel of Luke, you see the power of the living Christ, the miracles, the wonders. When you read the book of Acts, you see that Jesus continues to operate in the exact same way as he lives in and through believers in Jesus. He works with us. Jesus said in the Great Commission, as we go to all the world to make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, to obey everything, Jesus says, "Lo, or I will be with you always." Take that into your heart. Always, to the very end of the age. Even the very end of the age, at the moment of the great catching up and the return of Christ, there's not going to be a moment that the living Jesus is not with us. But the powers of God. Acts chapter 4, they did the right thing. Threatened and told never to speak the gospel again. Instead of cowering down in fear, they rose up, they prayed, they quoted scripture, they asked for God to give boldness. And the power of the Holy Spirit fell again. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. The building shook. Peter prayed, "Stretch out your hands and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus." Oh, that all churches across this land, that all pastors would lead thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of believers in leading them in your services on Sunday morning, in great, saturating, and power-packed praying for your city and for your neighbors and for your families and for your nation, asking God, "Stretch out your hand, save, heal, deliver, show signs and wonders, use every power of heaven." Since all of heaven is focused, since God is willing to use everything even His Son on the cross. There's no greater miracle than that. Jesus supersedes all miracles, but they flow through Him to the world. Jesus heals people today, and may God put it upon your heart to pray for the healing of sick individuals. The majority of the people in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, God healed before they got saved. God delivered from demons before they got saved. There are great signs and wonders. You read about Paul and extraordinary miracles being done. May God stretch out His hand to do extraordinary miracles. The miracles of God overshadow, crush, destroy, and expose the counterfeit powers of Satan. The counterfeit. If you're going to sit back and let the counterfeit flow, what shame, what neglect. We are aiding and abetting the ramping up of satanic counterfeit power, signs, and wonders by our doing nothing. By just simply wanting to be safe and sit back and be protected. What a lie of the devil. That has nothing to do with the Word of God that tells us to go out, that tells us to pray, that tells us that God will answer. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock on the door. Will be. That's right, opened. Signs, wonders, and miracles. It's time to begin to pray that way. And when it comes to evil and wickedness all around us, the wicked queen, Mary, opposed to the real gospel of Jesus Christ, it is said in history that she feared the prayers of John Knox, the great Christian reformer, more than an invading army. The righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee. Don't sit around afraid of the devil. Get up, Christian. You've got authority. You've got protection. Use that. Pray against the demons. Command them out of people. Stand in the armor of God and the mighty power expressed through your life. Pray that God stretch out His hand daily to save, heal, and deliver, and to show signs and wonders and miracles. Let God show those signs, wonders, and miracles again and again. Let God show what He's doing in the world today. That leads us to point number 9. The ever-present, living, unceasing presence of Jesus Christ. I will be with you always to the end of the age. I will be with you always to the end of the age. I will be with you always to the end of the age. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Listen, as you know Jesus in your prayer time, as you walk with His presence in your life, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hey, did you read that in John's Gospel 17? Jesus, speaking to the Father, says that I myself may be in them. Oh, dear sweet Christian, in this hour, this final hour of human history, here's simply 9 things that are included in the evangelization of the world. Jesus Christ said He'd be with you. With you in the process of reaching the lost to the end of the age. The dedication, the unfailing, unfading dedication of the living Christ operating supernaturally, working in you, through you, around you, in your prayers. Christ, Christ, Jesus Christ. Oh, dear sweet Christian, take up the cross. Oh, may God's grace and mercies rain down on us. May we be filled with a passion for lost souls, humanity. Christian, go. Go. Go to all the world. Go, my dear friend. Repent of the excuses. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. Dear sweet believer in Christ, loved by God, secured by God's grace for heaven, give everything. Give everything you can to reach the lost for Jesus. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.